It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, statewide, HBR1 stations, Friday as part of our afternoon drive broadcast of All Things Considered, and then appearing online at hawaiipublicradio.org. That's where we keep our Helping Hand segments. Every week, Helping Hand tries to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event offering assistance to people with disabilities and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are learning about an organization that's been helping those in need since 1865. One may be a bit humbled imagining all the struggles the Salvation Army have been able to assist with since 1865. It is a huge privilege to welcome to Helping Hand another member of their esteemed team. It's Lieutenant Michael Stack of the Salvation Army, Hawaiian and Pacific Islands Divisional Youth Secretary, EDS Coordinator, its Emergency Disaster Services Coordinator, and Men's Ministry Secretary. A huge welcome to HPR. Thank you so much for being here, Lieutenant.
Great. It's good to be here with you as well, Dave.
How do they come up with these, and it may seem like a totally stupid question, and forgive me, how do they come up with these names you guys get? Like, as Major John Chamness has been on, just an inspiring individual, much like yourself. How do they give you these names, these titles?
Well, I think a lot of it just has to do with our military structure, but then really it's about just a way to organize us as leaders, but then us as how we're able to help out in the community and whatnot. So
I love it. It's a great thing. Yeah. It's a huge, huge thrill. And it's like people in the service of helping people.
Amen, yeah.
It's right on. And now you have, Lieutenant Stack here has actually done some pretty humbling kind of thing recently. You got to travel. There have been a lot of things with weather. There's just a lot of trouble right now in the world. I guess you just can't, it's hard to, you just reach out and you're going to grab some trouble somewhere. So you went to one of the areas that was inundated with a storm system. It was Texas. Talk a little bit about perhaps when you first heard you might be going, some of the things you ran into. Just paint a picture. It is radio, so if you can kind of describe it in as visual a way as possible.
Yeah, for sure. So when I first heard that I was going to be going to Texas, I was a little nervous. I've never been in that situation before.
And what do they do? So it's days into the storm, suddenly your boss says, hey, we're going there. This is a big thing.
So we got the request, and they asked us to put together a team. And so we put together a team from our Croc Center. They have a little EDS committee that meets there and does regular training and whatnot. And so I reached out to them. They were able to send five or six people along with me to go and just help out in all the various ways. They called us Team Flexible because they really just needed help with all kinds of different things. And since the way a storm might work, if it hits the islands, we have to really prepare for just about anything, the possibilities.
This is kind of like training while helping.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a great training opportunity for us as well, because a lot of that team has never actually been in a disaster type situation before. And so we got an opportunity to really get a feel for what it might be like should something happen here.
How long were you there?
We were there for about 2 weeks.
Wow. And so you get there and it's just is there water everywhere? Or did it not quite look as bad as TV? Or
it was, so TV saw some of it right after it happened. When we got there, it had already passed about 2 weeks of time. And so we were driving through neighborhoods and stuff like that, trying to assess the situation and whatnot. And we see this neighborhoods that look pretty much okay for some of them. But then we see this kind of brown ring on all the houses and whatnot about just above their windows. And we realized that brown ring was the water level. It had reached that high in all those neighborhoods, and so people had left, and they hadn't come back yet, and that's why it looked okay, because from the outside, there wasn't a lot of damage to the outer structure, but everything in their house would have to be gutted and ripped out and everything like that. And then when people arrive back home, that's what they start doing, is taking everything out, so then FEMA can come in and look at what's out there, and then they can potentially get a grant for up to about $32,000, I believe it is. But if they didn't have insurance, it's nothing compared to what they really need to be able to get back up and running.
Right. I mean, and then dialing in on the people who are really more vulnerable. I mean, not to say that, I mean, that's a catastrophe for anybody. You're an able-bodied person. You come home and your place has water 6 feet high is what you're sort of alluding to. Is that high when it's above the windows? But you think about people who are on dialysis. You think about people in wheelchairs, walkers, braces, people who have extreme mobility problems or need electronic devices for their medical well-being. Were those some of the things that you ever ran into, or had those people, did you not cross paths with that kind of situation?
We ran into one elderly lady, and she hadn't been able to do anything yet in her house, and she saw us pull up in our canteen, and she just started crying because she knew that we would be able to help her with something, and she just explained what had happened and that she didn't have the strength or the energy to really do what needed to be done. And the unfortunate thing in a lot of these situations is people had come to her and offered her help and things like that, but there's people that are trying to scam people right. in these situations as well. And so they'll offer to come and help them gut things out of their house and stuff like that, but they'll tell them, oh, it's going to cost this much, when really it should cost a lot less than that, or typically would cost less than that. But since it happened to everyone, they're raising their price. You know, it just gets out of control. And it really takes a coordinated effort between organizations as well as the city and the county and things like that.
Because you have to be on the lookout for people preying on these victims. I mean, it's just like, this is an elderly woman who is in distress and people are trying to prey on her. Were you able to bring any relief to this lady?
Yeah. So she actually had I believe it was her grandson that was there. And one of the guys that came with us actually from our team at the Croc Center, he had an ukulele and he was just trying to play music and help them to relax a little bit. And another one of the ladies prayed with her. And again, she started crying during that time and got to share a lot more of her story. I won't go too much into that. But the little boy that was there, he was just really struggling because he didn't feel like he had any hope. He couldn't really even help out a lot either because he was so young. But the guy that was with us, he had been playing his ukulele, and he gave that little boy the ukulele that day. And that just really blew him away, this kid who had nothing anymore. He felt like he had something that he could enjoy and... But really, for the guy who gave the ukulele to the kid, he was really changed by that moment, too.
I'm sure.
So, yeah, it was a great learning opportunity for all of us. And, yeah.
You guys do some great stuff. Coming back home and the stuff that we got going on here, that's a remarkable story, too, Lieutenant. When it comes to the holiday times, you guys do those red kettles.
Yeah.
And people might see them, but they do a lot of good, don't they?
Yeah, so our red kettles are pretty much what helps us do everything that we do across the Hawaiian and Pacific Islands. So without folks' donation in those red kettles, and any little dime counts, it helps huge. I think it was 1/3 or 1/4 of the total last year just came from change. And that really helps us to change lives. It helps us to do all the different programs that we're doing across the state.
All right, helps to fund your mission to get there,
yeah,
and give that little boy that ukulele.
And exactly.
You know, I mean, that's how that happens. I mean, you have a ballpark figure how much comes in on those things?
I think last year our goal was $1 million, and I think we ended up at about 800,000 last year.
So when you see those red kettles and you have any change in your pocket, you're saying it goes into that 800K. And
yes.
It's a huge part of making a difference.
Yeah, it stays right here in Hawaii, and it makes a difference on the outer islands, wherever you happen to be.
Right. Anybody has a chance to help. It's kind of like, I was thinking, like, it's kind of like our pledge drive. It's like, well, you could say, imagine if somebody gave, they're like, I have very little, I'll give you $1 a month, you know, a sustaining membership, that'll be $12. That may seem small, but you compare that to someone who's given this nothing, and you're like, wow. So when you think about, you see the red kettle, and you have a little bit of change in your pocket, and you don't have a lot of money going on in your life, or maybe you have a few bucks, and you can contribute that, that's a huge statement, because it's like you've just gone from nothing to being part of it at some level that you can afford. And it just, you're basically taking advantage of so many other people who also are trying to do whatever they possibly can, because maybe they don't have a lot, but you add all of that up. And that's, what's that, 1/3 of your overall? I mean, how much of the 800,000 is how much of your overall budget or goal?
Oh, it's a very small
part of it.
The entire
of what you
picture
need
of what
per year
of what we're doing across the entire division for the year. Gosh, I can't give you that specific
number millions
off the top of
dollars.
My head, but yeah, it's quite a bit to do everything. I mean, we're talking across the Hawaiian and Pacific Islands. So in Micronesia and stuff like that too, we've got 27 different locations. And so it takes quite a bit to offer all of the services that we offer in all of those different places.
But it's great. It gives a lot of people, and there's how many of these kettles around this? I mean, dozens, hundreds?
Yeah, hundreds of them. So just on this side of the island, I believe there's 50. And then on the other side, Kapolei side over there, there's another 75 or so.
Well, they really add up, huh?
Yeah.
At the end of the day. Around the islands, when we had you guys on last year, and we were thrilled to have Major John on the program, John Chamness, we looked at the different parts of the state and tried to, maybe because we're a statewide audience, so it's kind of a unique way to be able to highlight some of your needs and what the costs are around the state. And that way folks understand there, you know, if you want to get involved, if you want to earmark your dough, maybe you want to make a contribution and say, I want it to go to this particular thing. We'll run through some of those with you now. And maybe we'll start on the garden aisle. And you tell me, what is what's going on over there that you guys need funding for?
Yeah, Kauai, they've got a lot going on over there. One of the things that I want to draw attention to right now with Kauai is a lot of our men and women that are going through our addiction treatment facilities here end up going back to Kauai, actually. And a lot of them are struggling to figure out how to just restart their lives in a way that doesn't get them involved again in those things that got them into that situation in the first place. So we have a soup kitchen at both of the locations that are there on that island, and lots of different programs for the kids and young adults and things like that there. And so some of the things that we could really use some help out with is the soup kitchen. Really needs some funding for the ongoing meal services that take place there and whatnot. So 3 days a week, I believe, at both those locations, people can go in for lunch and for dinner and get a hot meal and spend some time in fellowship with other people. It's not just this hand you a meal and walk you out the door kind of thing. The local officer there, so someone like myself, is often there sitting down, talking to people, eating the meal with them. And it's not a bad meal either. It's a good meal that they would enjoy having, everyone would enjoy having together, and just getting a chance to connect on a human level, because so much of it can just be really cold if we just push people along the line and stuff like that. We don't want to do that. So
no, you're trying to help people get out of these circumstances.
Yeah.
And that kind of interaction is that's critical. Anything else on Kauai before we hit? We're not going to hit all their needs on all the islands, but we're going to hit some of them. Are there other things on the Garden Isle that you want to mention? Or?
Yeah, I think just in general to all the islands, that emergency services aspect, if something does end up ever potentially happening here in Hawaii, it's very helpful that each of our islands has the critical things that they need to be able to be prepared beforehand.
And that's an island that's gone through it, so they definitely know without any question what you're talking about.
Yeah, so the main thing is a lot of folks really are excited to donate when something does happen, but not so excited to donate beforehand so that we can really prepare so that we have a more effective response beforehand. And so that's the most helpful.
Yeah, and all you got to do is think of that lady in the beginning of the story. You want to have your equipment in place early rather than afterwards showing up and finding them in some distress. Hawaii Island, big island, bunch of needs there. I know there's a weekly dinner for the homeless, after school art class snack, and this is something that obviously could use some funding and helps out some people in need. Talk about this.
Yeah, it's a great program. We have some new leaders that just came there a few months ago, actually, and they're doing an amazing job. They started this meal program where they go out to the pier, the core. Our location is right around the corner from the pier where the King Kamehameha Hotel is and whatnot. And so they go out there on the pier and they serve a meal for tons of people that are gathering in that area. There's a lot of homeless folks and whatnot that are just hanging out in that area fishing or just on the side of the road and whatnot. And so it's a really cool thing that they're doing. Actually, my wife and I, we were in Kona on the Big Island when we first came to Hawaii. And so when they got there and they started doing this program, we thought, this is amazing because this is exactly what is needed in that area right there. And so they're feeding people and telling the story about what the Salvation Army is doing in the community there. And really, again, they're right there with the people, and that's what makes a huge difference. Instead of just staying up in the building or something like that and offering these services, they're going to the people and meeting their needs right there on the spot.
No, I get you. And when you're in trouble like that, it's nice to not just have someone hand you something. They spend some time talking to you.
And yeah.
I mean, that's a big part of any of this. It's kind of like Meals on Wheels. Yes, it's great to get the meal into the hands of an elderly person or disabled person that can't get out of their house, but when that person spends some time talking with them when they drop off the meal and they're hanging out with them, that can be just as critical, the socialization that happens. So that's a great one there for folks who love Hawaii Island and want to help out people who are on Hawaii Island in need. Maui, there is also, I'm looking here, larger dining tent and bathroom renovation. Explain.
Yeah, so in Maui, in Lahaina, we have this amazing program where all throughout the week, people can come and they can have a hot shower, a hot meal, and again, a time to just fellowship and spend time talking to people that care about them and that want to see their needs met and really get them the help that they need. So it's kind of the best we can do right now. It's rigged together and whatnot. It's not the nicest looking thing, but it gets better and better each year.
It offers hot meals, showers, laundry facilities.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
And that's huge for people who don't have.
Yeah.
It's not really about what it looks like.
Exactly.
Kind of like visiting Hawaii Public Radio. It's not the most fashionable place inside, but we get the job done. We use the money on the right stuff. Well, that's huge. You guys could use a little under 10 grand to help fund this. Hale Palekana?
Yes, that's correct.
In Lahaina. Another one of your innovative and humbling things that you're up to. Well, we're here on the island that has just about a million people in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and so many folks in need. Obviously, we have the worst homeless crisis anywhere in the richest country on earth, and it is an extraordinarily humbling crisis. Every block in this town of Honolulu, doesn't matter where you go, you're going to see it. You're going to feel it. You know, it's intense what we have going on here. I can't imagine spending thousands and thousands of dollars to come to a place and find what we have going on in Waikiki, which is one heartbreaking reality.
Yeah.
And I live there. I see it coming and going to work. It's just like, on the way, your heart is broken. You get back home, it's broken again. It's all kinds of cats. People who just aren't screaming to no one. Women screaming. Little woman covered in dirt. Her clothes look like they haven't been washed in I don't know how long. She's Asian of some kind. Screaming at the top of her lungs. People just walk right by. People camped every couple of hundred feet. Little ramshackle. I mean, it's like something. You have to either become Iron Man, I don't know what it is you got to do tonight, not just let it destroy you, because some of these people look like they are going through such a terrible thing. And this is ground zero in the state. You're here on the ground here. You got a lot of stuff. It's not all about the homeless. I understand that. So lay it out there. What's going on here that you need help with? Because I can obviously see there are. It doesn't take much turning your head to see the problems.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Really across the state in regards to this, but here on Oahu, we're really trying to do the best we can to look at this effort as a whole. So trying to help the kids out early on as well, so that they're breaking this cycle that might be happening in their lives. I mean, we have kids that come to our camp program that don't get a chance to eat on the weekends, don't eat very much at all during the summer, and then they come to camp and for lack of a better way of saying it, they're just stuffing their face to the point of vomiting and whatnot. So it's just a terrible
thing to see. Are these homeless kids?
Some of the kids that come to our camp are homeless kids. So we have a program called Revolution Hawaii, which goes to Chinatown and the Bush in Waianae and several other places across the island. And they connect over and over and over again with individuals and families that are out there homeless. And it takes quite a few connections before they can really build a relationship with someone where they'll trust them. And some of the times we get an opportunity where, and this is huge, where a family that's homeless will let us take their kid for a week to camp.
Amazing.
And show them this completely different opportunity for them at the camp. We've got STEAM program, so science, technology, engineering, art, and math, teaching them how to do to fly drones and program drones and build robots and things like that, and just really trying to give them an opportunity to spark what we believe God created them to do, so that they feel like they have hope that even though they're in that situation, this terrible situation, every single day of their life, that they can have hope. We also started a farming program at camp too. So really at the camp, when we're bringing those kids there, we're really trying to give them every single opportunity to see what it is maybe that they were made to do, and so that they know they can do something. So camp needs some help. It's always helpful to send more kids to camp. It costs about $500 per kid to send them to camp for the week. That includes three meals a day and good meals as well, and includes a lot of that programming that we're talking about, like
So let's say somebody's listening and they're particularly touched by the children that are part of the homeless crisis, and there are so many, and they're hearing you and they think, well, $500 to send a kid. Can I earmark a grand and say, I want to give you $1,000 in hopes that you're going to spend this on putting two kids into that camp?
Yeah, certainly.
You like that. So people can earmark, I'm saying, for something that really hits them when they're hearing you talk, right?
Yep, now. Exactly. So you can earmark the money for whatever specific thing you want to, anything that you've heard today, as well as if you want to, you can give the money just to do whatever it happens to be that needs
right.
to be
Let
done.
You guys choose what you need the most. What else in this do you want to highlight on Oahu?
So I want to highlight also our Pathway of Hope program. And so Pathway of Hope, again, it's trying to end this cycle. So we start with the kids, and then here we are kind of seeing people in the middle of their life, and maybe they've grown up in a family that had this addiction or whatnot, or whatever it happens to be that caused them to have this struggle, and they're still in it. Maybe they go through our adult rehabilitation center to get recovery from that addiction. Maybe they go to family treatment services where a mom can go with her child through this program, the only program in the state that allows that to happen. And it's a beautiful thing to see. So we do that. And in Pathway of Hope, we're bringing them after they've gone through that program and trying to give them, help them to find a job, to help them to have a healthy community again, where
and maintain their stability is what you're talking
exactly,
about.
Exactly. And
I
so we've figured there's three major things really though, and it's that they don't have a home, and so we're trying to connect people with a place to live after that, coming out of that. So it's helpful to have landlords that are willing to work with us. We have over 100, but we need more, or potentially to receive a donation of something huge, an apartment complex or something like that, a small one or whatever it happens to be, where we can give people this housing opportunity, even if it's for a short period of time, where they're in there and they're able to restructure their lives. They're able to rebuild their lives around this healthy community of people that want to support them, want to be there for them, along the lines of also doing good work again. So they've got a job and they're coming to work on time and they're living their life and doing a good thing. So,
one final one in the Honolulu area to wrap it up, and sort of after my example that I gave of, because I always see certain, I've been here 15 years and there are some homeless people, I don't know how long I've been watching them, but certain ones a long time. There are a few that are just always shouting out in a foreign language that particularly touch me, because I feel like, wow, they're not even speaking English. They're in the United States, and they really are in need. I mean, they're on the street. Their communication is in another language, it seems like. And so I see on here translation services, because it really, because there's also this kind of myth with the homeless thing that they all came from somewhere else. And living in Waikiki, you see a lot of people who obviously came from somewhere else, and a lot of young people who aren't even homeless. You can go ahead and cough if you want. And people who are just sort of like vagrants who appear to come here to kind of game the system and possibly be involved in the enormous wave of crime we've got in Waikiki, I'm not sure. But you also see a lot of people on the street who don't seem like they're from here at all, and definitely not from the mainland, and are speaking foreign languages. And I see on here translation services and need for $16,400. And knowing how good you guys are with everything else, explain what this is all about.
Yeah, so our family services office, they're really one of those first touch points for people. When they come in to the Salvation Army, this is where they find whatever the service is that they might need. So they'll come in here, and the difficulty can be just that we can't understand,
sure.
And they can't understand us. And so it would be extremely helpful if we had some help with translation services where even if someone's able to come out and help us translate.
Boom. So volunteers, really.
Yeah, volunteers are a huge help in these types of situations. And then we can really get a grasp of what the need is and either connect them to the specific thing if it's an addiction that they're struggling with, or if they just need food, giving them that food. And so our staff that's on site there, they've learned some of the words and stuff like that. And then they're just looking for, okay, they hear the word food in that specific language, and then they try to meet that need or whatnot. And sometimes they're not saying they need food. They're saying something completely different.
But the great thing, what you're pointing out is, in all of these island situations, there's room for volunteers. So anybody who says, I just don't have the dough, but I want to get involved and help out, don't worry. There's a route to do that, is what you're also saying. That if you can speak another language, if you can just help someone, if you can handle something in the office, there are a myriad of ways that a person could get involved and help. And one of many ways that would really help you is if you've got a foreign language skill. I'm thinking one of an Asian language of some kind. You could really serve a role in helping some of these people.
Yeah, so this language that we're seeing a lot more people coming with specifically is Chinese. So if you can speak Chinese, that would help us out a lot. But in addition to that, with volunteers, going back to the Red Kettle thing that you're about to start seeing right now, what we've seen over the years is volunteers that ring the bell for us bring in double, triple the amount of money than a paid staff person being out there brings in. So if you have the time to just stand and ring a bell for us, that can help out a lot, because that turns into, you helped us, but then you're helping us financially as well. And we're getting double, triple that money sometimes when there's someone that's out there that really wants to be there and is touched by the mission of the Salvation Army and wants to be part of it. So you can go on our website, hawaii.salvationarmy.org, to hear about any of the things that we're doing all the time, as well as sign up to be a volunteer to do any thing that's available. So whether that's helping out with Red Kettles, and that website works for the whole state.
It is hawaii.salvationarmy.org. You can call them, 808-988-2136. You can, at their website, contact them for a variety of specific ways to support them and get the contact information there. They can be found on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. The full interview, the radio feature, all their contact information, all the previous Helping Hand guests can all be found at hawaiipublicradio.org. Lieutenant Michael Stack of the Salvation Army, Hawaiian and Pacific Islands. You're so passionate about helping people. Where did this come from? Without being too personal, did you see somebody struggling as a family member? You just were raised to give back. Why are you doing this with your life?
So I grew up in a home where my mom was just by herself. Early on in my story, my dad left our family, and so growing up, it's funny, I always wanted to be a good dad. And that drove in me, I think, this desire to want to help people. And I've always wanted to just help out and give back to my community any way that I possibly could. So it's funny, when I first met the Salvation Army, it was a church that was doing something. And that's what really drew me into the Salvation Army and made me want to be part of this organization to help out any way I possibly could. Because, you know, we're at church, and half the time they were spending, we're talking about the upcoming things we were going to be doing in the community to help out the community and whatnot. And I said, okay, this makes sense. This is what I'm reading in the Bible. Okay, let's do that. Yeah, I want to be part of this, you know? And so it's been a whirlwind since then. I'm only 30 years old, and man, in the last 8 years or so that I've been part of the Salvation Army, I've gotten so many opportunities to really give back to the communities that I've been a part of. And that's really blessed me, and I hope I've been able to be a blessing to others through that.
It's incredible. Lieutenant Michael Stack, Salvation Army, Hawaiian and Pacific Islands, Divisional Youth Secretary, Emergency Disaster Services Coordinator, Men's Ministry Secretary, outstanding human being, our Helping Hand guest today. Obviously, I hope you can tell, I'm very proud of you, Michael. Thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here with you today.